that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Range Wranglers. This is Range Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the sunny, well, we'll call it partly cloudy Radio Range this June 17th, Saturday morning. And got our coffee, got our Bibles, and hey, we're here. So good morning to you, the remnant, and good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning to, again, you, the remnant, that have joined us from East Coast to West Coast. And, well, we know that our Canadian friends, we've got some of those that join us as well. So we say good morning, and, of course, good morning to you, Lord Jesus, and good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for joining us here on this Saturday morning. Well, John, if you'll open us up in prayer, we'll get on with the program.
Sure.
Heavenly Father,
we do thank you, Lord, for this time that you set aside for your people to come together and, Father, to encourage one another to love and good deeds, and also to sharpen one another, Lord, just as your word says that iron would sharpen iron. I pray that this program would allow each man to sharpen each other. Father, guide and direct us. Give us wisdom and understanding. Give us the kind of wisdom that Solomon had, Lord, that defied all human reason, because it was from you, our Heavenly Father. It was a gift. Father, our desire is to walk in those greatest gifts, Lord, to fulfill every aspect of the Great Commission, to come to that place of complete obedience, where we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And Father, we know that we've made strides recently towards that, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you are a God that keeps your promises. You said if we seek, we'd find. If we knock, it would be opened. We're seeking, and we're knocking. And you're showing us, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your promises that in the last days knowledge would increase. Father, we see that as well. We know that there's things in this living word, the Holy Bible, that have been there all these years, but they won't be revealed until the proper time, just as you told your servants, Daniel and John. So, Father, we cry out for knowledge and wisdom, more Holy Spirit. Show us what it is you would have us to do, Lord. We say, here we are. Use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? And Father, as we approach this day called Father's Day, we understand that your fifth commandment is that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers so that our things may go well with us and we have a long life. But Father, help us to realize even more important to them than that is that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and we are His children. And we are to recognize, respect, obey, love and reverence our Heavenly Father every day of our lives as well. Help your people to understand that you're calling your people, the remnant, and your churches to order. And that no longer will you tolerate lukewarm, and no longer will you tolerate churches of Laodicea. The time has come. Choose ye this day who you shall serve. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. But if the Lord Jesus Christ be God, then serve him. As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. And Father, I thank you for 23 years of wedded bliss that I celebrate today. Lord, I ask for your continued blessings to be upon my marriage for many, many more years. Father, we thank you for the healings that we continue to see and to hear about throughout your people. Father, we thank you for the deliverances that we hear about, those being set free, those, some for the first time, being able to experience the joy and the peace and the happiness and the love of true Christianity. So, Father, continue to expose those wicked ones in high places. Your word says that we are to pray that those things that are done in the dark would be brought to the light. And we have been praying that. And, Father, we know that you're exposing these things. There are so many things that are being exposed of the wicked ones that they are dumbfounded, Lord. They do not understand what's going on. And Babylon is crumbling around us. So, Father, protect those that are yours. Put a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around them. Guide them. Direct them. Give them wisdom and understanding. Father, let none rule over your people that do not love you and fear you. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, we'll have the phone lines open today, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in or if you have a comment. And, you know, one of the things our pastor, in amongst everything else that he taught us, was don't give up your guns. Hang on to your guns. You need them. You know, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. You have to remember that. And in Tennessee, these two bad men had killed two more policemen, had broken out of a transport bus, and these two, well, criminals were on the loose, you might say, had stolen cars, had attacked people after they'd killed two more police officers, and had robbed homes, tied up, and and terrorized an elderly couple. But they tried to steal the wrong car. And a homeowner there in Tennessee saw him, called his neighbor, said, "Bring your gun. I got mine. Let's get them." And did just that. Used their firearms to hold these criminals and get them back off the street. And I just saw that.
Too bad they didn't resist.
Yeah. It reminded me that our pastor told us that. And you never know. I guarantee you the day before, those Tennessee homeowners were not thinking. They weren't sitting around cleaning their gun that night before saying, you know, tomorrow when those guys try to rob our car or steal our car, or, you know, we're going to catch them. No, it wasn't like that. But they were ready. They were prepared. And so in the physical, as a Christian, folks, you need to be prepared. You need to, especially you Christian men, that is one of the ways that one of the things you are charged with is to provide for the safety of your family. And so my hat's off to these two. I don't know who the neighbors were that did it, but because they still had their guns, they were able to not just cower in their living room and look and call the police and say, "Hey, those two guys that killed the policeman and are robbing and stuff, they robbed me too. They took my car, and so they're headed west on the interstate or north or whatever." No, they stopped it, and they became doers. And so I hope that's encouraging to everyone out there that it's not that we go looking for that stuff, but, you know, when it comes to your to your front porch or to your garage or to your driveway, you can run and hide and hope that's enough, or you can stand up and face that problem. And these two did. Probably won't.
That is encouraging. Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the things that we got to do. You got to be armed. You know, it's one thing to be armed. I mean, and there's a lot of people out there that understand that, okay, yeah, you're supposed to have something, but they have no idea how to use it. You know, is what you're supposed to do is when you to follow through with that commandment on not giving up your guns is to keep them and to also know how to use it.
Right.
Well, did you notice that the shooter there with at that baseball game against the GOP? He had I'm sure it'll be an AR-15, but anyways, some sort of semi-automatic rifle. And the guy, they said he fired, I don't know, some say 30 rounds, some say 60 rounds. But he only
heard upwards of 80 also.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a perfect example of what you're saying. You got a guy with a rifle who should have,
by all means,
been able to take them all out. And he was taken down by handguns, by people who did know, who were proficient with their firearms. So, but it's the time for us to be ready for anything. Be cautious. Be aware. Be prayed up. You know, be praying these prayers. Forbid the enemy from operating in your life and in your wife's life and your family's lives. And because, you know, these things are happening all around us. They're happening more in Europe, but as they happen in Europe, they will continue to happen here more, I believe, as well.
Exactly. Well, and that's one of the things that you think about. It's you take that scenario out there, even if it was 30 rounds with a rifle, you know, and boy, you know, they're already starting to jump on the bandwagon calling that an assault rifle.
Yeah.
I saw a note that the ATF put out that, yes, he would have had. Not, they don't come out and say, well, he purchased the firearm legally. They came out and said, well, he would have had a background check. He would have filled out the paperwork to purchase that. And, you know, when you have people that are of that mindset, the rhetoric that's been going out that summer, John, you mentioned it earlier, what the enemy is talking
summer
about.
Chaos, I think, is what they said.
Right. Yeah. And so when you have a people that, that say, oh, that promote that, that push it, that talk about it, that say this is what's going to happen. And then when it happens, because they've set the wheels in motion, it's not that they're prophetic, it's that they are paying people, that they are part of the problem of causing these things. You know, then they want to play both sides of it. Oh, well, we are so saddened that this happened. And it's like, no, you're not. You're happy because it's going to further your agenda. And I think it's just the grace of God that there weren't more killed. Or that there weren't, I guess he was the only one that was killed. The congressman, a couple were shot and a couple police officers were shot. But my understanding is that
none of them died. Yeah. He didn't die. He's still in the
I thought the shooter
critical condition.
I thought the shooter did die.
Oh, the shooter, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The shooter did, which is good.
And that was it.
You know, here's the thing. This is it's rules for radicals, right?
Yes.
Which is Saul Alinsky, which was Hillary Clinton's mentor, and we talked about that before, but the propagate the biggest lie and then shout it from the rooftops is basically what it means. And if you think about it, what have the Democrats been saying? Now, you got a lot of people that are unstable in this world, a lot of people that they've created to be dependent upon nothing but government.
Yes.
And so you got these Democrats saying that they're killing the people by repealing Obamacare and all that. And over, that's all you hear. The Republicans are killing the people, killing the people, killing the people. It's the rules for radicals. Saul Alinsky. Propagate the biggest lie you can and then shout it from the rooftops. And eventually, some of these people will believe it and it'll cause unrest and it'll promote their cause, which is exactly what they're doing.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So you just have to be ready at all times.
Yes.
Spiritually prepared more than anything, I think. It's spiritual warfare, good versus evil, you know, and in the last days, evil will be called good, and good will be called evil. And if we can't see that that's what's going on in the world today, I mean, Jason sent out a interesting second part of what we talked about, I think it was last week, about Bernie Sanders just ripping on a man who professed to be Christian that President Trump had nominated to a position, rather high-ranking position in his cabinet, and he didn't hold any bars. You know, he basically just said that you Christians are bigots, and he's right. By God, we are.
Yes.
Because by God means by God, you will not do this. Our pastor taught us that, and you know what? I bet nobody other than people who are members of the body even understand what bigot is. I've seen people use that so many times as a negative thing. And I said, do you even know what that means? It means by God.
Yes.
That's German, by God. By God. Which means, by God, you're not going to do that. And that's the way that the men, the real men, our forefathers used to think was, you can try it, but you ain't going to do it.
Right.
And there was enough of them that banded together who said, by God, you're not going to do it.
And, you know, and the thing is, they didn't need nobody else.
Yep.
It's all it takes, one. When you're with God, it's all it takes is one.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. You read in our Bible reading plan, we're going through went through 1 Kings this week and wrapped it up, and then into 2 Kings. And you read about Elijah and Ahab, and then you read about Elisha, and he got to the point he had the Holy Spirit with him, God with him, and they learned in a godly way, but they learned not to mess with him, because Elisha just called down fire on him, as simple as that. And he would tell the kings, well, this time tomorrow, it's going to be you that's going to be dead and not me. And it came to pass time after time. And I think that these you know, our story in the Bible is given to us to encourage us, because it was one man, and he came against the system. Gideon was the same way. It takes one man doing what is right, making that choice, and then when one man will do that, one Christian, then others will follow. Others will follow.
Yeah, what was that article you sent, Jason? It was Bernie Sanders.
Well, I called it an SOB alert, but I think the title of it was Bernie Sanders yeah. doesn't think Christians are fit for public office. And it went into, and basically it was on Bernie Sanders, and it's posted on the Newswire. But is what it was basically how I got part of it right here. It says, while the nation's capital was twittering with excitement on Wednesday about former FBI Director James Comey's testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee, something far more outrageous was underway. In another Senate hearing, Senator Bernie Sanders, in a blatant violation of Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution, was applying for a religious test for an office of public trust. Specifically, Sanders doesn't think Christians are fit to serve in government because they are bigots. Basically, basic Christian theology, in Sanders' view, is indefensible, it is hateful, it is Islamophobic, it is an insult to over a billion Muslims throughout the world. And as you read this article, I mean, there was a lot of words in there that I didn't even know. But, I mean, Islamophobic is a new one. I hadn't heard that one before. But I guess it's starting to be a pretty common used word anymore. But basically, I mean, basically he goes on and on and on and on about how if you're a Christian, you are anti-Muslim, because, that's kind of the way it is. And if you're anti-Muslim, then we should not have anything to do with you, and you have no business in public office at all.
Yeah. Well, here's another interesting article that I read once you sent me that. Was Bernie Sanders says that the Pope is playing a historical and incredible role in creating the new world economy. But remember what religion he is, too, right? You know what religion he is. Bernie Sanders, Jewish all the way
yeah,
through.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
I thought that was.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they're no longer hiding it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're no longer hiding.
No.
But, you know, here's the thing, too. Think about this. Those of you who think that we weren't delivered somewhat, at least as a nation, by having Donald Trump win the presidency. Think if Bernie Sanders was in there right now.
Yes.
With the rhetoric that he's espousing from his mouth. You know, you can say what you want, but let's face it. There was no human way for President or for Donald Trump to win the presidency. It was a spiritual deliverance, and that's all that can be said about it, because they had even celebrated before the election was over, because they knew that they had cheated enough to win. But God said, no, there are those out there, my people, who are called by my name, who humbled themselves and prayed and sought my face and repented. And he heard from heaven. And, you know, and we have a second chance. But you can also see that they know that their empire is at the brink of collapse.
Yes.
It's good versus evil right now. And it's a spiritual warfare. And if his people, who are called by his name, don't continue to pray like we've been praying the rifle prayer and the pistol prayer, you know, the mighty weapon, and praying these prayers of protection and all these things that we've been learning over the years, using the anointing oil and unanointing oil, and if we don't use all of these spiritual weapons that we've been given against the enemy, well, then I don't think we're going to have the victory. Because God said, I've given you what you need for the victory. Now, it's time for you to implement it. And I've already seen there's a lot of Christians that have fallen asleep again already, you know. It's kind of sad. I mean, I'll have to admit, I don't pray as much as I should either, and I'm working on it. So I know if I'm struggling with it, there's got to be at least one or two more that are.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting last night. It was downtown. And, you know, sometimes you go to town and it's just like you say to yourself, self, I don't get out much.
It's a freak show.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different out there. But one of the things that was interesting is walking down, and they got an area where there's people, and they have their guitar cases open usually, and they're playing music. And walking down there, and I hear this song, and I mean, I hear it from quite a ways away, and it's somebody is playing to a violin, "Oh, How I Love Jesus."
Oh, nice.
And I walked over there, and there was a gal, and it looked just kind of like a Mennonite, Amish, and had a violin and was standing there, guitar case open, and it was, her violin case, and it was virtually empty. And she was singing, and she was playing that song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." And I said, "How much for a song?" And she's like, "Well, you know, anything, you know, just whatever, you know," she's like, "whatever you put in there." She's like, "I'll play whatever I know, and I can play it for you." And I said, "No," I said, I want you to play that song again." I said, "How much for that song again?" And she said, "A quarter." And I said, "Well," I said, I'm not that cheap. I said, "I can do better than that." And I put a fair amount of money in the case, and I said, "Here's the deal." I said, "I want you to play that song 5 times again before you leave tonight."
Awesome.
And her eyes lit up, and she was so excited. And she said, "You got it, sir." She's like, "I can do that." And she's like, "I'll make sure I play it 5 times before I leave." And I came probably an hour and a half later, came walking back, and she was playing that song. So she was holding up her end of the bargain. But you know, it's like it was really reassuring, because I mean, there was you get out in society sometimes and you don't see a whole lot of God, and it just, I'll tell you what, you know, coming from different ways, shapes, and forms, it gave me, it was encouraging, and it gave me hope. And, you know, to be in that kind of atmosphere and to have that song played was so powerful. I mean, I could hear it when I was walking down. I mean, I couldn't see this, but I could just hear it and play it. I could hear it, and it attracted me to it. And I had to find out who was playing the song, because it was it's a frequency. It was an energy. It had the ability to change the whole setting of that place where we were at. And,
Toward evil.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. It was very interesting, but very encouraging to me also.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it just takes one. And that's it took guts on that person's part. One being a Mennonite or that type, probably dressing different, playing a different kind of music, certainly a different frequency. But if that's where that person's called by God to... If that's what that person's called to do, so be it. And, Jason, I would bet you weren't the only one encouraged by that.
Sometimes it seems like it.
Yeah.
Especially in Old Town after 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, but not.
It's,
God has his people, and he puts his people that can plant seeds like that, or put frequencies out like that for a reason. And, we are encouraged by things like that there others are as well. That other seeds may be planted and just still need to be watered, still need to be nurtured, but it is encouraging that yeah, I sure wasn't expecting that, and I bet you weren't expecting to hear that down there in Old Town either. But praise the Lord.
Oh, I was not.
Yeah, but praise the Lord.
But I mean, talk about just it's like a fresh breath air. I mean, you know, I did that too. It's like, you know, and then I finally find the person, and you know, I mean, dressed modestly in a dress, you know, and a violin, and you know, I had such an appreciation for that.
Right.
And it was very encouraging for me.
Right.
There's coming a time though too where I think the Holy Spirit will convict His people to maybe just stop and pray right there for protection for that person too, because you know that evil is gnashing his teeth all around her. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I've been called to do that before too, where you might raise your right hand and extend your left hand towards a person and just basically pray a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around them. Lord,
yes,
protect this person that's doing your will, you know? And I think we'll see more and more of that. And that confounds the enemy too, because I really believe that there's a barrier that's put up, that, you know, they can go and gather their stones and they can either their weapons or whatever they want to try to take out one of God's. But if that protection, that shield of protection is around them, they won't even be able to come close.
Absolutely. I agree.
That's pretty exciting.
It is. It is. You know, if we really, honestly, truly believe that greater are the forces that are for us and the forces that are against us, then we would do that absolutely all the time. 100%.
Yep. Yep.
Yes, it is an effective weapon, and it works. It works. I mean, we've all given testimonies and seen how the power of prayer. John, you recently gave one, you know, praying for your children. Right before that wreck that should not, in the physical, should not have turned out the way it did. We have something greater than the physical. The natural man calls it foolishness. The natural man does not understand it, but it's there. And, you know, accessing that power of God that He desires for us to, it fits right in with that. It is greater than anything that can come against us.
Yeah, you can. Another tool, another spiritual weapon, I believe, is you may be in the surroundings of people that, you know, they know who you are and you know who they are, and you just say, if something's happening in that area, if this is from the enemy, I forbid it.
Amen.
And I rebuke it, and I command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And like I said, I've done that with people who are just coughing uncontrollably or sneezing uncontrollably, or I've actually done it in a work environment, in a meeting, you know. You go into a meeting with a bunch of professors, and you know that they know the dark can see the light and the light can see the dark, and I've had some confrontations in the past, but I just go in there and I go, I forbid the enemy from operating in this meeting. And if, you know, if something's going on that I don't like, I just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, that this is from the enemy, I take the authority that you've given me through the blood of Jesus, and I command it to stop. And I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And you'd be surprised like that. And I think they're dumbfounded. They're like, well, wait a minute, what happened here? You know, we had control of this meeting a minute ago.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
So many spiritual weapons. Just need to ask for discernment of which ones to use at the proper time. And then, like Jason says, just like a physical firearm, these spiritual weapons, any weapon, you have to become proficient at. And the only way you're going to become proficient, just like a physical weapon, is by practice. Practice and more practice.
Yes. Part of that comes from reading your word. Faith comes from hearing. And when we read of the I know it was encouraging to me to read of Elijah and Elisha again. I know we've read about it. We've heard our pastor preach on it. We've all talked about them before. But when you go back and read again, you know, Elisha raising someone from the dead, feeding the similar to Jesus feeding the 5,000. These men of God back in 1 Kings did that as well. And so you see that it's, you know, God showing, God encouraging his people that we still have these Bible stories to read and as part of our history, if the people will read it. Even in James, it talks about how Elijah was a man with a nature like our own. And so Elijah was a man like you, John. Elijah was a man like you, Jason. Elijah was a man like me. And he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. And when he prayed again that it would rain, it did. And when he prayed for the people that he was in contact with, his prayers were heard and answered. And it wasn't just that, you know, Aunt Mary got better. It was great things. And so great that here in the New Testament in James, we read about that. I think it's given as an encouragement so that people will pray, so that people will see that, like Luke 10:19 says, we are given that power. We are given authority over the forces of evil in Jesus' name. It's another choice. It's a choice whether to believe it, and it's a choice whether to do what it says. Well, guys, the phone lines are open this morning. If anybody's wanting to call in, 307-745-5913. If you are where you want to give a call in, go ahead, John.
I just got a text. Hopefully we all know not to spend any money at Starbucks, but if you break that rule, you might consider not breaking it at all this weekend because...
I'm having a hard time hearing you. Can you talk to the phone a little better?
What's that?
Yeah.
There, okay. We weren't hearing you very good.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to read the text. 100% of your money this weekend goes to the charity Born This Way, which is a gay rights charity.
Oh.
Somebody just texted me that, so...
It is a choice. If you still shop at Target, shame on you. If you still shop at Starbucks, shame on you. Because that is what they support. It is. They support the ungodly. They support sin. They promote it. How many times have we talked about, that we all sin, but we do our best to be running away from it, turning away from it, not supporting a sinful lifestyle. And they do.
Yeah, the reality is, though, if we boycotted everything that was against Christianity, you know, we wouldn't be able to do anything. But
right.
Well,
the
bottom line is,
but when you know it,
are bold and brazen.
That's right.
They boldly professed that they do not care about Christian
values.
That's right.
And so if you still, you know, there's plenty of other coffee shops out there that have good coffee. Usually within walking distance, or driving distance at least, of those. And yeah, we sure can't boycott everything that comes against Christianity, but Target has sure felt the punch. Target had, and we've reported on it before, Target had massive expansion plans, and they have not met for the last 2 years, they have not met their sales goals that they had set. And there was a quote by the CEO here earlier this year, and he even attributed it to that. And he said, "Yeah, we were not expecting the backlash from standing on the transgender bathroom policy. They were not expecting the backlash, and the people have spoken. The people said, I'm not going to go there. And if you know, I think you should make that choice. It is a choice." And it's a choice for each one of us, whether we whether we do or not.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I was reading this morning and last night, there's a lot of things that are being overturned from the Obamanation administration that we're not hearing about, because I think they're getting smarter, you know, a little wiser, wise as a serpent. And some of the Trump administration is passing laws and executive orders and rescinding things that were done, but they're doing it quietly. They're not doing it in the limelight. And I think it's a good thing. I think we've made significant progress against abortion, against the funding of abortion.
Yes.
You look at the state of Texas. The state of Texas is just, I mean, they're all out. They just passed a law against Sharia. No Sharia law will ever be practiced in this state. So there's people that are waking up. There's things that are happening that I don't think we necessarily know about. The biggest opposition against the Trump administration, in my opinion, is the stinking Republicans who are wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, they're actually more of a hindrance probably than the Democrats. At least you know what you're dealing with the Democrats. But
yep.
The Republicans, they're shaking his hand with one hand and they're stabbing him in the back with the other. Yep. And I like how you called Comey commie. Because that's really what he is.
He's a commie bastard.
Yep. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
There's another example, right? He seems to be your friend. But you know what? That was foolishness on Trump's part, too. Anybody who was appointed by the Obama nation should be kicked out without severance. I mean, just as fast as possible. And who cares? If we have to run the government with 10,000 less people, it'll probably be 10,000% better off.
Yes.
So it's foolishness on their part to think that you're going to change somebody that has an ideology, especially if it's anti-Christ, which most of those are.
Yep.
So we just got to keep praying that those things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light. I think
we do.
That's the key in this government thing, you know, the mighty weapon.
Yep, the rifle prayer and the pistol prayer.
I know that pistol prayer.
Along those same lines, John's DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, bales be broken and bound. We are seeing that happening. When you pray, and then something happens, you know, you need to have the eyes to see that your prayers have been answered, and we are seeing that very thing happen. Not just the Democrats. But like you said, John, the Republicans, those that are wolves in sheep's clothing, those that say one thing but really are communists, like the commie, absolutely. That is, we are seeing that happen. And praise God, when my people humble themselves and cry out, what does he say he'll do? He'll come and heal the land, and that healing is starting. You know, it seems, and we've spoken about it here on the radio, and it's been spoken of from the church pulpit and from all the radio programs, that a shift, a change has occurred. Not a complete turnaround, but a shift. A shift from that downward spiral that we have been on to it's only partial now, but it's an eye-opening. It's an awakening to the truth, an awakening to, wait a minute, this guy says he's my friend, but he's voting against me, and he's saying all this other bad stuff, but he's smiling at me and saying he's my friend. See, that eye-opening is happening. It's happening in D.C. It's happening all over. You mentioned earlier, John, about the states that are defunding Planned Parenthood, defunding abortion. Coming out, being proactive, like Texas, no Sharia law here. We've got law, and we'll hold to that, and nothing else. And you also, I think, another answer prayer is that Bernie Sanders, the way he comes out and is just saying, you got to get on this road and accept everything, or not. And the Christian senator that he was interviewing, sir, I'm a Christian, and. We got some emails on that as well. And boy, Bernie Sanders got a little upset, didn't he? I mean, he was almost foaming at the mouth,
gnashing
his teeth. That's
absolutely
right. That's right. How dare you? Sir, I'm a Christian. And I think that man had prayed that the Lord would give him the words to say and be that way. Because, see, God has put him in that place.
Yeah. But, see, he didn't combat him. He just stood on the truth and on the word.
That's right.
That's the key.
It infuriated them.
They can't stand it.
That's right.
They can't stand it. Yep.
It infuriated
them. They can't stand it.
And you let them...
If you can keep your composure and stand on the truth, you will win every battle you go against these Antichrist bastards.
Yes.
So.
Well.
Pretty exciting. I guess that was something in Illinois, too, that was... concerning. Of course, Illinois is concerning. Sorry for those of you that live there. But anyways, they had passed laws that child services could not hinder a foster child if they were seeking alternative lifestyle or alternative gender. And they said if you hinder one of these foster children in your capacity as working for the state of Illinois in child services or whatever, welfare or any of the other ones, you will be fired. Now, that's pretty bold and brazen. And I hadn't heard that, and I wouldn't have believed it had I not read it and checked into the sources of it. But so here you go. You got a state like Texas that's drawing itself back to Christianity, and then you got a state like Illinois where you got these... terrors running the state who are promoting the same Antichrist agenda. But the good news is, you people of Illinois that fear God, you can take that state back.
Yes.
God's revealing things to us now that if we get to this place, the sanctification, where we basically put the Lord before our own selfish wills, wants, and desires, then we have the opportunity to bring these judges and these people in places of authority before the Lord and claim the promises that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us against them. And we're going to talk a lot more about that in the coming weeks.
Amen. That parable of the harvest, the tares and the wheat, I see it coming more and more. The tares are standing up straight and tall and proud and haughty. You can read about that in Matthew 13 if you have your Bibles. I encourage you to do that. Go back and read that story. And make sure you read on when Jesus explains the parable of who. In verse 36 it says, "Explain to us the parable of the tares." And so go through and read it. "Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be. The Son of Man will send forth his angels and will gather out of his kingdom stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness and will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place they shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." See, there's a rapture coming. And I think that describes one of them. But it is a removal of the wicked. It is a removal of the wicked. And it is, he says, wait till time of harvest. And that harvest time fast approaches. Because you have not only people, but you have businesses. You have corporations that have spent tons of money in promoting this lawlessness, as the Bible talks about it. From food companies to places like Starbucks and Target, and they make no bones about it. They have those that are lawless in their controlling positions and their ruling positions, leadership positions, and they practice lawlessness. They know, like Bernie Sanders, that they don't enter the kingdom, and they want as many as they can also to not enter. But the time of harvest draws near. I think it really does. I think it really does.
I think there's a lot of wag the dog going on too, though. You know, they got you focused on over here while things are going on. we've talked about this, I think, latter part of last year, but the European Union is, you know, working hard they say they need a military headquarters to work towards a common military force. The commission president has told MEPs in Strasbourg. So the head of the EU is saying that they need their own army, basically. And guess what religion the head of the EU is? Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
So
who embraces Muslims with open arms and says
right.
that they are a peaceful religion.
That's well, you read Revelation 17, 12, and 13, and it says, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. Well, we've long claimed that the Roman Catholic Church is that synagogue of Satan.
Yes.
And the Pope is definitely doing the will of his father, the devil. So I think those things continue to progress, though, as they, you know, wag the dog. They're still pushing for this one world order, one world government.
Yes.
You look, oh, I don't know if you, did you see this too? Apparently the Department of Homeland Security is now going to require fingerprint to get on the planes. They're doing a test right now with the people who are pre-check, but you still have to have your documents, but they're, you know, and it's always disguised as more convenient. But
yes.
Now it's going to be biometric. So more and more they're leaning towards the mark of the beast, which they can control, you know, your ability to buy and to sell. So it's the good news is we read the end of the story. We know we win, but we just have to be vigilant and continue to pray unceasingly and use those weapons that have been given to us over the years.
Amen. Amen. And along those lines, like you said, John, we've read the story. Hopefully you have read the story. Hopefully you're still reading the story. Wrapping up in Kings this week, reading on your Bible reading plan in Psalms next week. And next week, starting Sunday at 1 o'clock, is the 91st day. We shift from spring to summer, and the 91st days are right in there. And that's when they fall this year. And so this solar year of 2017, and so Sunday. You can join us Sunday morning for church, starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern, and we'll run it all the way through noon Mountain Time, and we encourage you to join us. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. I know our broadcast guy, Todd, I know he's been talking about having some new servers online and that type of thing, so hopefully those broadcast issues of, or not the broadcast, but the playing issues on the other end are all taken care of. And so we encourage you to join us. If you can't join us, remember we have the DVD Church that we come back and get copied and mailed out on Monday. And hundreds of those go out across the country and are shared in home churches and home worship environments, as well as played on public television. Remember that. If you have a public television station in your area, you can get our DVD Church, and you can, if you put a little work into it, just a little bit, you can get our DVD Church services played on your local public television. So we've got details. You can contact us here for how to do that. And then Sunday after church, if we roll in, we've got a 91st day, starting Sunday afternoon, the 18th, and that'll roll till Monday at 1 o'clock. And so we encourage you, if at all possible, take that day as a Sabbath, as a soldier Sabbath. Read and pray. We're reading Psalms. Hey, jump ahead a few pages. Read the 91st Psalms. And read it with your family and talk about it. Because these times may be coming. They are coming. But we have that refuge. We have that rock that we can rely on, that rock that we can have the foundation of our homes and our families built upon, so that when the storms come, whether they are tornadoes that Wyoming and Nebraska had the first part of this week, physical storms, and destruction came. Hail the size of golf balls, or not golf balls, softballs. You think about that, a softball, I mean, that's a handful. And there were inches of that deep on the ground in eastern Wyoming and in Nebraska. Storms come in the physical. Storms come in the spiritual as well. And as the enemy ramps it up, God will get us through this for sure. But, John, I think it ties back to what you said at the beginning of the program, that perfect obedience, that is what we are striving for. And we are making gains. We are moving in that direction. Observing these 91st days, I think, is part of that. So, if at all possible, observe Sunday, starting Sunday at 1 o'clock till Monday at 1 o'clock is the 91st day. Treat it as a Sabbath. Read the Bible. Pray. And encourage one another. So we encourage you to do that. And join us Sunday for church again. It's Father's Day. And John, I think you're working on you've got a Father's Day message for us tomorrow, I believe. Is that correct?
Working on it,
yeah. And so we're working here, folks. And again, if you'd like that morning time or nighttime prayer, we've read it before. I don't think we have time to hit it today this morning, but we can text it to you, we can email it to you, I can put it in the mail for you. If you'd like to have it, we have it on our phones, and encourage you to. We are to be a praying people. It's as simple as that. It really is as simple as that. So, well, guys, last minute here, if you have anything to wrap up with, Jason or John, either one.
Pray for the country. Pray for the leadership. Pray for protection. In fact, why don't we do that? Heavenly Father, we do come before you, Lord. We thank you for all of these many blessings. Father, we thank you for this temporary sign of deliverance for this nation. Lord, let us not fall asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel once again. Father, teach us to pray. Show us what it is that you would have us to do. We do pray, Lord, that those things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light.
Yes.
Father, that you would expose those wicked tares, just like your word says in the parable of the wheat and the tares. Father, that us as the Christians would have our heads bowed in obedience and reverence to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and let those tares continue to become more bold and brazen. Father, so there is no friendly fire. There is no mistake of, Lord, who those are that hate you and hate your people. And Father, we see that in this man, Bernie Sanders, as he gnashes his teeth as someone who dares to stand on the fact that he's a Christian and he understands morality. The Father, protect your people. Put a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a seal of light around them. Let them speak boldly as they ought to speak, as ambassadors in chains, not fearing the things of this world, Lord, but fearing you. Bring your people to the proper order, Lord. Bring your churches to the proper order. And those that will not have you rule over them, bring them to the courts and slay them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Rolling, 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 rolling.